the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to. Today we're going to speak about the blessings of visiting Imam Reza's Holy Shrine. Today's Today, Thursday, is the 12th of Zilqada, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of June, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You are listening to today's special. In this episode, we're speaking about the blessings of Imam Reza's ziyarah. But first, we listen to verse 73 of chapter Anbiya and its important point.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ.
And we made them leaders, guiding by our command. And we inspired to them the doing of good deeds, establishment of prayer, and giving of zakah. And they were worshippers of us.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse, in a general sense, refers to the rank of imamate and leadership of these great prophets, as well as a part of their important and valuable programs. The difference of prophethood and messengership with imamate lies in this fact that the divine prophets, in the rank of prophethood and messengership, only receive the command of Allah and inform people of it in order to convey it to them. And this communication is often accompanied with glad tidings and warning. While in the stage of imamate, they put these divine programs into action, whether it is done by information of just government or without it.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa al-Riza al-Murtadha. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Nabi. وحجتك على من فوض الأرض ومن تهدى الثرايا الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك.
We come back to our topic. What blessings does Imam Reza's ziyarah entail? One who visits Imam Reza's shrine devotedly and shows true love, Allah Almighty will forgive his sins. In another narrative, one of the companions of Imam narrated, "I inquired His Holiness about his fate. The kind Imam replied, 'I will be soon murdered by poison. If the one who visits my shrine recognizes my right, his past and future sins will be forgiven.'" It is also mentioned in narratives that ziyarah of the kind Imam, peace be upon him, Imam Reza, saves one from the difficulties and problems. Any believer who visits Imam Reza's shrine has some spiritual and material problems. But if he devoutly expresses his courtesy to His Holiness and seeks resource, Imam will assist him and solve his problems. There were and are many such instances in history. There have been many mentally and physically ill pilgrims from Iran and other countries who have had the honor to visit the Holy Shrine and thus receive what they have asked for. And there have also been so many people who have been guided in this Holy Shrine and converted to Islam and became Shiites.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the blessings of Imam Radha alayhi salam and the importance of his graveyard and holy shrine. Will it benefit the pilgrims of Imam alayhi salam in the resurrection day or not? This is what we are going to talk about now. The pilgrimage of the eighth Imam, that is Imam Radha alayhi salam, brings about his intercession for the believers. That is, in addition to the worldly effects, it will also have consequences for their afterlife. It is quoted from Imam Radha alayhi salam, "I will intercede for any of my friends who visits my shrine and recognize my right." To visit Imam in the right sense means that not to lie and not to visit the shrine with hypocrisy and greed, intending to show off. We should recognize Imam, we should know Imam as someone who is assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide people, and we should know what difficulties the Imam had suffered from in accomplishing this mission. Accordingly, the pilgrims should obey the rules of pilgrimage. Making crowds is not only mentioned in Islamic teachings, but also such behavior is denounced. Devotion, serenity, patience, and politeness have been emphasized in ziyarah and pilgrimage of Imam alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha al-Murtada al-Imam al-Taqi al-Naqi.
O Allah, send blessings upon Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha, the contented, the spotlessly pure leader, and your authority on the face of the earth, and below it, the truthful and the martyr, perpetually abundant blessings that are pure and continue ceaselessly, the best of the blessings that you have sent upon any of your chosen ones.
The Imam, Imam al-Ridha, uses supplication as weapon. This is one of his characteristics. Another quality of Imam's life is that he practiced supplication as a weapon through praying to Allah and referring to Him in all his affairs. For he found in it, in supplication, a special enjoyment which none of the enjoyments of life equaled it. The Imam urged his companions to supplicate Allah and said to them, "Adhere to the weapon of the prophets." "What is the weapon of the prophets?" he was asked. "Supplication," he replied. Imam Ridha advised his companions to conceal supplication, and that men should supplicate his Lord secretly, that none may know of him. "He, peace be on him," he said, "a seren secret supplication equals 70 open supplications." Thinking about a gift to the infallible Imam. Yeah, that was one way to make the most of ziyarah of Ahlul Bayt. So grateful, so happy. Recite a two-rakat prayer for Allah, and after the prayer, give the reward of that prayer to the Imam. That's all. What happens when we give them a gift? They will accept it, part of the etiquette that they have taught us when it comes to receiving gifts is to accept them. They will respond with something even better. See the verse of the Holy Quran in chapter An-Nisa, verse 86, "When you are greeted with a salute, greet with a better one than it, or return it. Indeed, Allah takes account of all things."
There is a statement from Imam Radha alayhi salam himself where he says, "The three places I will be there for you, for those who are my zawar, when the Naam-e-Amal and the scrolls of deed will be given to your hands on the day of Qiyamah. I will be there to help you. When you have to go through the Sirat, the bridge, he says, I'll be there to help my Zuwar. And especially when the deeds are being, you know, they are being weighed between good and bad, I will be there to support you. And so this emphasis that we see is very unusual about the ziyarat of the grave of Imam Radha alayhi salam in Mashhad. Actually, we have a statement from the ninth Imam. He was asked, somebody has said, should I go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or the ziyarat of your father's grave? Those days. And the number of sawab which have been mentioned for even Imam Hussain alayhi salam are very great. But Imam Jawad said that I would ask you to go and do the ziyarat of my father. Why? He gives a reason. He says Imam Hussain alayhi salam is accepted by all the Shias, whether they are Shia Isnashari, Zaydi, Kaysaniya, Ismailiya, Bukhari's, you see in Karbala, in very large number. He says, but if you look at history later on, by the time of the 7th and 8th Imam, all other groups went away. The number of people coming to the ziyarat of my father is going down. And therefore he says, you know, you see the emphasis about going for the ziyarat of Imam Radha alayhi salam.
Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ya Ali Musa Raza.
Inshallah, on the next episode of today's special, we'll learn more about Ziyara, especially Imam Reza's Ziyara. Thank you very much, and we'll leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Food for thought.
Salam. And since we are basking in the blessed birthday of the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace upon him, let us ponder on one of his wise statesmen. Behave with the friend humbly and with the enemy carefully, and the general people with a smiling and blooming face.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day and IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners a hearty congratulations on this most auspicious and grand day, because as you know, today is the birthday of the 8th Imam of the family of the Prophet, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. You know, it has been narrated from Imam Musa al-Qadim alayhi salam that he appointed his son Ali as his executor of his will, meaning Imam Ridha, and wrote this in a letter to him which 60 of Medina's renowned men bore witness to. And regarding his virtues, the virtues of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, a person named Harawi narrates that I went to the door of the place in Sarkhas where Imam Ridha alayhi salam was being held captive in chains. I sought permission from the jailer to visit him, and he said, "There is no way that you will be able to see him." I asked why. "Because," he replied, "he sometimes offers 1,000 prayers in the space of one day and night. He stops praying for a while at daybreak, before noon and before sunset. During these times, he sits on his prayer mat and converses intimately with his Lord. I said to him, "Then request him to grant me permission during these times." So he asked permission for me to visit. I entered and he was sitting on his prayer mat meditating. Indicates the intensity of the worship and ibadat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. A person named Ibrahim ibn al-Abbas narrates, "I have never seen Abul Hasan al-Ridha hurt anybody with something he said, nor have I ever seen him interrupt anyone until he had finished, nor refuse to do someone a favor that he was able to do. Nor did he ever stretch his legs before anyone sitting with him, nor lean against something while his companion did not. Nor did he ever insult any of his servants or workers. And," this person says, "I have never seen him spit," and he spit on the ground or spit, "or burst into laughter." Right? It's interesting to know that. And this has also been mentioned in the hadith, that bursting into laughter, or what we call in Arabic, qahqaha, this is one of the one of the effects of Satan. In any case, in continuation, this person says, rather, his laughter was just a smile. Right? This is actually characteristic also of the Prophet. It's been narrated that the Prophet, when he laughed, he would just smile. Then this person says, when he was ready to eat and the table had been laid, he seated with him at the table all his servants. He would eat with his servants, including the doorman and the table boy. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues and characteristics of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. So, I really welcome you all, Brother Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad Haider to our today's program. How are you? Fine? Fawad?
Fine, yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how
fine,
about
sir.
You?
How are
Alhamdulillah.
You?
Thank you. How about Ali Nasser?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Fine? All right. Okay, in this session, inshallah, we'll talk about ayah 131, 132, 133 of Surah Ali Imran on pages 66 and 67. So, let's everybody listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين وأطيعوا الله والرسول لعلكم ترحمون وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين.
Nice recitation, mashallah. So, let's mention some points and then shall move on to the tajweed rules. Allah Almighty in Surah Ali Imran on verse 131 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين. It is just Allah may continues the previous ayah. So واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين. In the next ayah. So what does it mean? It means and beware of the fire which has been prepared for the faithless. Next one. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And obey Allah and the Apostle so that you may be granted His mercy. In the next ayah, وَسَارِعُوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة. So Allah says, and hasten towards your Lord's forgiveness and a paradise, عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, as vast as the heaven and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, prepared for the God-fearing. So look in the previous ayah, says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. نَار, the Jahannam, is أُعِدَّتْ, is being prepared, is promised for the faithless people. For the faithful people, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. What أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ? الْجَنَّةِ, right? جَنَّةِ. So guys, النَّار, that is a certain thing. Nar and heaven, these two things are certain things. One of the principles of Islam is what? The fifth principle of Islam is?
Qiyamah.
Tawheed, Adala, Nubuwa, Imama, and?
Qiyamah.
If somebody believes in Tawheed, he must believe in the Day of Judgment as well. Why? Huh? You prove in the theology, you prove that Allah Almighty is wise. So a wise does not do anything purposeless, does not do things without a reason. So if Allah Almighty has created us and has given us a chance in this world to improve ourselves, to get to perfection, so what then? We do the prayers, we do the fasting. What's the point? What's the point of fasting? What's the point of praying? What's the point of living in this world? And what's the point of dying? Like, you live for 80 years, done, over. Is this fair? Is this like a wise thing to happen from a wise God? No. For sure, Allah Almighty has a reason behind. Right, to make us, what? To help us get to perfection, so He will reward us. Right? He will reward us. So, the existence of Jannah and Hellfire is a must. Yeah?
Yeah.
Logically, it's a must. So, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. When you listen to the Allah Almighty, you should listen to the Prophet as well. Don't say that Allah says in the Quran that, for example, do the prayers, right? أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So whatever I want, I can do the prayer. No, listen to the Prophet as well. أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ أَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Listen what the Prophet says, how the Prophet performs. If the Prophet was praying in a special way, you should pray like him. You don't have to change the prayer, the form of the prayer. Or for example, Allah Almighty tells you to fast, okay? You fast. In the Quran, Allah Almighty says, sum, for example. Yeah? وَأَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ, for example. You fast. So when it comes to break your fast and Prophet breaks your fast, you have to break your fast. If the Prophet says, break your fast, listen to the Prophet. Because he is sent by Allah Almighty. He says the words of Allah Almighty. So you don't have to say, no, I don't break my fast. Why? Because Allah says fast. Don't break your fast. So listen to Allah Almighty and listen to the Prophet. أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ. Follow Allah. Follow the Prophet as well. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So you may be granted his mercy. وَسَارِعُوا. And hurry up, hasten towards the maghfirah of Allah Almighty. Towards the things that bring you, that give you the maghfirah, the ghufran, the forgiveness of Allah Almighty. One of the examples I can tell you is to respect your parents. If you respect your parents, respect your siblings, respect your neighbors, respect your Muslim brothers and sisters, you will get the maghfirah of Allah Almighty. Okay? One of the good examples. So, إِلَى مَغْفُرَةٍ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا. Nobody wants to avoid Jannah. For sure, they want to go to Jannah. Don't you want? Yeah? Yes or no?
Yes.
For sure. Right. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Don't worry. If somebody is acting correctly, acting righteously, for sure he believes that he will be rewarded. He will not be oppressed. He will not be, okay, for example, left without any rewards. because he believes in the justice of Allah, he believes in the wisdom of Allah Almighty, and for sure Allah Almighty will grant him, inshallah, with his blessings. So guys, these were short explanations that we actually could tell you, but we want you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more about them. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. All right, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasir, ready to go to Tajweed rules?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي. What's the point here? The first one? وَاتَّقُوا has a waw mad. وَاتَّقُوا. But النار has Hamzatul Wasl. And also, what? لام التعريف. And also Nun Mushaddad. So, when you have Lam al-Ta'rif, after Lam al-Ta'rif, you have Nun, which is a sun letter. So, you skip Lam al-Ta'rif, skip Hamzatul Wasl, skip Waw Mad. You quickly, you fast, okay, join this Wattaqu Qaf to that Nun. So, between Qaf and Nun, whatever letter you see, skip them. Waw Mad, Alif, Hamzatul Wasl, Lam, skip all of them. Wattaqun qun, as if there is nothing. Qaf with Dhamma plus Noon talking. Wattaqun, that's it. Wattaqun, and Noon produces a nasal sound, right? Since it's Mushaddad.
Yes.
Wattaqun nara allati nar. Ra has a fatha. Heavy sound. Wattaqun nara allati. Lati has a mad, but the yamat plus hamza, are they in the same word, Hassan? Lati u'iddat, are they in the same word? Ya and hamza?
No, sir.
No, they are not. So, Fawad, if they are not in the same word, is the mad wajib or jais?
Jais.
Jais, right. So, jais munfasil. U'iddat lil kafirin. Next ayah. So, I will recite it once. Repeat after me, okay? Ready?
Yeah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Wattaqu an-nar allati u'iddat lil-kafirin.
وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ.
أحسن, you can skip the mad. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Alright, that's it. Next ayah lesson. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ. The same thing. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ. The mad is skipped. Wow, mad. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. So the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced heavily since you have a dhamma before. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. Right?
Yeah.
So the rule says, if you have a fatha or a kas or a dhamma right before the word Allah, pronounce the word Allah as Allah. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. Lam is pronounced with a full mouth and heavy sound. But if you got a kasra right before that, like, you have to pronounce it with an a sound. For example, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. If you recite this way, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, it's clearly a wrong recitation, right? All right. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. So let's repeat after me, okay? Listen and repeat.
وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ
أحسنتم. Next ayah, وَسَارِعُوا. It has a mad, but it's not wajib. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. مَغْفِرَةٍ, تَنْوِين plus ميم. ميم matches the yermanun letters, so idgham, you merge them and pronounce a with a nasal sound, plus two counts, stretch it for two counts. مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, merge نون ساكن with را, مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, inserted. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ, again نون مشدد, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا, جَنَّةٍ تَنْوِين plus عَيْن, عَيْن is a throat letter, إِظْهَار, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا, عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ, عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ, أَلِفْ مَدْ is skipped, سَمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Listen and repeat.
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ.
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
أحسن, أحسن. Yeah, I stopped at أرض. No matter, you finished it. That's correct. So thank you so much.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Allah bless you. We practiced the tajweed rules, we mentioned them, and we also practiced the recitation. That's all from us for today. Inshallah, the next session will continue towards the next verses or ayat of Surah Ali Imran. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasser for being with us. See you inshallah. Nothing to say?
No, sir. No.
والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wa la'adha wa ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of taqlid or following a religious scholar, a jurisprudential scholar, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of taqlid based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, a follower of a marja, sees that there is another marja who's recognized to be the most learned. What's his duty?
Well, the obligatory precaution in this case is to shift from the marja who is currently being
followed
to the one who is supposed to be the most learned, of course, with respect to issues in which their fatwas differ, it's always a matter of, you know, it's agreed that in those matters which the two mujtahids have the same opinion, it does not make any difference as to which one he follows. But in the matters or in the issues in which the fatwas differ, the obligatory precaution is that he should shift, he should move from the marja, from the current marja to the one who is the most qualified mujtahid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sheikh Tawid, when is it permissible for a follower to change his taqlid to another marja?
Well, according to precaution or ihtiyad, it's not permissible basically to change from a living marja to another living marja or another living mujtahid unless the second mujtahid is more learned and better qualified. Otherwise, there should not be any you know reason for changing. If the second mujtahid is better qualified, then of course the precaution is to move to that mujtahid and act according to his fatwa, especially in matters that the opinions of the second mujtahid differ with regards to the acts of worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about the difficulty of some of the, for example, laws that are there and they are issued by, for example, their marja that they follow, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to follow them? Or they think that they are not, in accordance with the changing time.
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually make it a good excuse to change one's marja?
Well, this is not a justified or a reason for changing taqlid. You know, the compatibility of the fatwa with the requirements of the present time is not actually a good reason to shift, and it's not permissible to change from the most learned mujtahid to another mujtahid simply because of the very speculation that his fatwas are not compatible or consistent with the contemporary, circumstances or the ongoing, developments or the changes that are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So such an excuse is not, an excuse or, reason does not become a license for changing or shifting to another mujtahid.
Mm-hmm. I see. What is it meant by the blameworthy ignorant person?
Well, a blameworthy ignorant person, there's another word which I usually use, and that is culpable, duty-bound person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Someone who is to blame for not acting according to the fatwa or not fulfilling his duty, such a person is will of course be punished in the hereafter because he is blameworthy, he is muqassir, and of course a muqassir, someone who is blameworthy, should actually jump into action and try to act according to the condition, according to the fatwas of his mujtahid, according to the religious instruction, and so on and so forth. He should seek knowledge, he should acquire wisdom, knowledge, information, he should improve his awareness. For example, if you have access to a scholar,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to fast, and you don't have no information whatsoever about the rules of prayer, about the rules of fasting, and the scholar is there, the risala is there, the website is there. So you are muqassir, you are blameworthy because you have all these
facilities
available.
Accessibility.
You can reach these things and learn something, but you did not. You could not do anything,
mm-hmm.
so you are blameworthy. You ought to be blamed for not doing anything. So, generally speaking, a blameworthy person is a person who realizes his ignorance and knows the possible methods by which he can overcome his ignorance but deals carelessly and, you know, with learning the religious rulings. He does not try to learn those rulings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll come back with a very interesting question right after the break. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about the rules of taqlid based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, before the break, I asked you about mughassir, a blameworthy, ignorant person. But what about qasir, an unblameworthy, ignorant person?
Yes. Qasir or an inculpable ignorant person is someone who does not have access to things through which he can remove his ignorance, or he's not aware of his ignorance in the first place, and he has no way to actually to get the rule. Like I give you the example of people living in the North Pole, the Eskimos. Who have no knowledge. They even do not know that they are ignorant. There is a religion called Islam. There is, for example, Sharia. And so they are actually inculpable in their ignorance. Mm. They will not be punished for not acting, for not praying, for not fasting, because they have no information. They know nothing about prayer, about fasting. Such people are called qasir. Their ignorance is inculpable. And so they are not to blame praying fasting.
Oh, all right. And, you know, Sheikh Sawit, in many of the episodes you talked about precaution, but what about obligatory caution? What does that mean?
Obligatory caution or obligatory precaution is a precaution that is necessary to abide by, to follow. And it's not, again, I should say, it's not fatwa. It is a precaution that is that one must act upon and must comply with, because it is just a precaution that must be exercised. As long as one is acting according to the precaution in not following the, not acting according to the fatwa of another mujtahid, he should comply with it. He should follow it, and that's what precaution, obligatory precaution actually means.
Sheikh Javid, there is another phrase which is used in these Islamic laws or books of Islamic laws, such as, for example, there is a problem in it, mentioned in some of the fatwas. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does that mean prohibition?
Well, you know, it differs from case to case, from one issue to another issue, and from one problem to another problem. If the problem is in permissibility, it indicates prohibition on the practical